On this show and so many others, you hear so much about doing content, posting on social, doing videos, and getting yourself out there, right? But we're going to talk to somebody this week on this episode who did just that, and their business and their personal brand and their opportunities have exploded. This week, we're talking with Neil Dingra.
The Massive Agent Podcast. With lead generation tips and strategies to get you more leads and sell more homes.
I love to buy houses. I like to sell houses.
It takes brass balls to sell real estate.
Wait a minute.
The leads are weak. You're weak.
I've had better.
Oh, have I got your attention now?
Here's your host, Dustin Brome.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to episode 165 of the Massive Agent Podcast. I am your host, Dustin Brome. I'm an agent in Salt Lake City, Utah, and the co-founder of the Industry Syndicate Podcast Network. Welcome to the Massive Agent Podcast. This week, we're talking with Neil Dingra. He's a prolific content creator. I just used the word prolific, and I used it naturally until I screwed it up by talking about how I used it. Anyways, he's a content creator. He's a mortgage loan officer at AWM in Reno, Nevada, a real estate investor, and somebody whose business and brand has exploded over the last couple of years simply by recording himself saying words and putting them on the internet. That pretty much simplifies what we're talking about here with doing content, right? That's what we're doing. We're recording ourselves saying words and putting it on the internet and doing it over and over. And then people on the internet see those words being spoken and business grows. There, we could pretty much end the podcast because I think that's as scientific as it gets. You guys get it. Seriously though, content has changed my life. Content has changed the life of so many agents that I know and work with. And Neil's on the mortgage side of the industry, but his business has exploded. He's grown a team. He has so much business, he needed to grow a team. And opportunities that have come his way within the industry are just crazy. I mean, he interviewed Gary Vee. He was able to sit down with Gary Vee and do a one-on-one interview for over an hour in Vegas a couple of years ago. And he was telling me about that, after the recording, he was telling me the story. But these doors opened to him just because he started recording himself and had some valuable things to say and put it out there and then just kept doing it. So he's somebody who's walking the walk. There's somebody that we can look to and say, you know what? That's a good idea. I like how he did that. I looked at his content as well, and I'm like, I like that. I like that. I like those graphics. I like how he did that thing. I like the message. And so we can just do what other successful people do. So I'm super excited to talk to Neil Dingra today. Very, very interesting episode for sure about just making it more real for you guys who are not yet doing enough content, or maybe you're not even posting regularly on social. I mean, that's a bare minimum. And doing videos and content and everything like that is kind of a level up above that. But my goal for this episode is for you to hear how content has been done and been used by Neil and how it's changed his business. And hopefully it makes it more relatable and achievable and simplified for you. If you guys ever want to watch these interviews, just go over to the Massive Agent YouTube channel. You can, of course, search it on YouTube the way that you know how to do if you've ever used YouTube. But if you want a quick link, just go to massiveagentpodcast.com/YouTube. It takes you right to our channel, and you can watch all of our podcast interviews, the video version, which, you know, some people like to watch, some people just like to listen. And now you've got both. So check it out. And coming in the next month or so, I'm going to be doing YouTube videos specifically for YouTube, that they're going to be on a certain topic and put on YouTube. That's the only place they're going to be. So you're going to want to go to subscribe to the Massive Agent channel on YouTube. Pretty please, for your own damn good. All right. It's not for me. It's for you. Well, it's for both of us. Let's jump into the interview right now with Neil Dingra. What's up, guys? I'm here with Neil Dingra. Welcome to the Massive Agent podcast, my friend. How's it going?
Good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. You're somebody that I've been watching for a while now. Just, you do an amazing job with your content, really, really well done stuff. And the content of the content is really, really good. And so I wanted to talk to you. You know, you're on the mortgage side of the industry, but you're winning at a high level over there. And I thought this transition that you've done, from my perspective of being a loan officer to being a successful loan officer that creates content and is now well known and building influence, how that's changed things for you. So first off, welcome to the show. Tell me about that transition a little bit. Like, you know, give us the background. How long have you been doing loans? And then when did you decide, hey, I'm going to actually start putting content out there, and here's why?
Yeah, so I've been in the industry for, I think it's 19 years now, 18 years. Pretty crazy to say that, because
that's
makes
wild.
Me feel pretty makes me feel pretty old. But
right.
So I was doing this as a traditional loan officer, built a little small team. I'm based in Nevada. I go back and forth between Reno and Vegas. And we had just a couple people on the team. And after just doing this for a while, I was just getting burnt out. I noticed that my business partners were treating me more as a vendor, like a commodity, essentially, like expendable at some point because of so much competition and for business on the mortgage side. And then also,
you
I
mean
noticed
your realtor that, partners.
Exactly. Yeah. So realtors, right. I mean, there's a lot of bad lenders out there, and they do it to themselves by coming to the office with flyers and donuts and tchotchkes and whatever else they do to get business, you know, but they're really making themselves out to be just another vendor, you know, at that point. So they're not adding value. So from a, you're already handicapped coming into the business, trying to meet with referral partners. So that was the problem. And then I noticed that the consumers were shifting online more. And a lot of LOs talk shit about Quicken. Well, you can't argue with the numbers. Quicken is the number one mortgage lender in the country. They may be retarded at handling loans, and they screw a lot of people, and they charge people more money. But at a certain point, it doesn't matter because they have more attention on the front end. So I just saw like this shift, and I'm like, am I going to let these people put me out of business, or should I put myself out of business? So I just decided to do that. I'm like, okay, the old Neil is now out of business, and he's replaced by the new Neil. What does the new Neil do? The new Neil doesn't go around asking for business. He's just going to show people what he knows, right? So I just started to just show, hey, you know, here's how you buy your first rental property. Here's how I did it. Here's how you qualify for a loan. Just dumb, you know, basic informational content. Then somebody, I started seeing more podcasts out there. I'm like, I'm going to start a podcast. I don't do it at a level like you're doing, but I do some episodes. And then I was able to get a few notable guests, which got me a little bit more credibility, and then just started meeting more and more people, and then really started seeing results of like, hey, if I show people my expertise, if I help other real estate partners with their content and give them advice and tips on how to grow their online presence, because I've just done it for myself, so now I can help you with yours, then I'm going to become that trusted person. And that's going to lead to conversations. And then that led to a shit ton of business. So I basically scaled my own production up 4X from switching from traditional LO activities to all in on social. And then once I hit my ceiling, I started to hire more people in the office and grew a team. So now I went from like 3 people in 2018 to now we have 21 people in 2021 now. And it's just been like, for me, it feels like exponential growth.
That is exponential growth. That's awesome. And what are some of the, aside from just business growth and a scaling, like what are some of those side benefits or, you know, serendipitous things that have come your way or opportunities that have arisen? Is that even a word, arisen? That have come about since you started doing great content?
So I think it's like you meet people that you didn't think, you know, you would have an opportunity to meet. People connect you with higher level people. I've had somebody reach out in the DMs and say, hey, love your content. Been watching your stuff for a while. I'd actually like to meet with you about X, or my brother's a developer and he'd like to meet with you about becoming the preferred lender there. Or I know you're in lending. What do you think about this? And you just start meeting people, because what happens is, by just posting consistently, even if the posts aren't all about lending or home loans or whatever, when the need arises for one, I'm the first dude that those people are thinking of. And I know people hear this term top of mind all the time, but there's really no way to stay top of mind without being spammy, except for doing this. Like, I don't know of another way. Like, you can do the mail and you can do the emails and you can do all that shit that I was doing before. But if it's not really you, like, it's hard to stay top of mind. You know what I mean? So you're really, it's just a land grab. It's just a wide open space, especially in the lending community, because mortgage people are traditionally terrible marketers. So it's a massive opportunity for both real estate and lending. Because, and the reason why I translate this to real estate agents, and I know this show is for real estate agents, is because a lot of the inbound I get is from consumers looking to buy real estate or consumers looking to sell real estate. Now, I don't have a real estate license. So then I just give that to my best partner that I work with that refers me the most business, you know? So I'll you know, generate leads for the people I work with. And then I'll try to tell them, hey man, did you guys know this works? Like, why don't you do it? But my problem is I can't get people to do it on the real estate side. I'd show them all day, but they won't do it for the most part. There's very few people that will.
Yeah, I mean, it takes work. It takes, it's a commitment for sure, but it's, wouldn't you agree? It's not that hard. It's more of a time management thing, right?
You just have to get in the habit of doing it, right?
Yes.
So like if you weren't doing stories before, but now I see you do stories all the time. So some at some point you started to do more and then you got into the habit of posting in your stories almost daily, right? Whether you're with your kids or like, it's crazy. I've never met you. This is the first time we're talking and we're like old friends.
Right.
Because I watch your stories and you've watched my stories. So this is the way that relationships are being made today. And I don't think people understand that. They're like, what should I post in my story? Anything. Look at the bar. The bar's at the ground. People are posting a pile of dirt outside and they're calling that content. So what are you worried about? You can't show, you know, what you're doing today. I think it's just people overthink it. So if you just get into the habit of doing it, it becomes like any other habit that you do daily. Like if I've gone too long without posting in my story, I have something in my head that says, hey, you know, you need to post something. Like it's a reminder that becomes part of your day-to-day ops.
Stories really changed everything for me. It because before stories, it was more posting stuff that you wanted people to see.
Yeah.
You know, at least that's what I was doing. That was not the right thing to do at the time, but that was really that's what I thought of when it was social media. And then stories came around from Snapchat, and it was literally letting people see into your life because you're holding your phone up here like this, and they're literally seeing down into your life and you're talking to the camera, and that changed everything. And now like this personal connection can be made so quickly and so powerfully. Like you said, we've never met in person. And yet, you know, I know the car you drive. I know where you live. You know, I know some of the stuff you do with your family and you know what I'm up to as well. And it's crazy all because of this story format.
Yep.
And there's, I get it, but I, at the same time, I don't. Why more of our fellow agents and loan officers aren't doing it regularly? It's simple. It's just making a decision to turn the damn camera on and be like, I'm cooking dinner tonight. Or here I am like choosing apples at the grocery store. Like that's content.
They just say no for the audience. So it'd be like me asking you, hey dude, would you want to do a podcast? But no, it's okay if you're not interested, you know, I'm cool. Or, you know, don't worry about it. Like they say no with, right. You know, you're already, it's like people when they make their calls or when they reach out to clients, they're already going into the assumption that the person doesn't want to talk to them. And then that comes through in what you're doing. So if you look at stories and you look at what people are sharing, why can't you be one of those people, right? So it's just like at a certain point, you see people executing on this strategy and there's nothing really special about you or me. We have probably the same skill set and knowledge level of many of our colleagues, but we're just choosing to share and they're choosing not to. So then we win more online and they lose share online. And I just found like there's really no way for me to network anymore. Traditional network, especially with COVID, right? Pre-COVID, it was go to events, try and meet people, shake hands one-to-one. And I love live events. Like there's nothing more I love than the energy of a live event. But post-COVID, that's gone. And then also live events is not really the most efficient way to meet people because you only make a couple connections at each event. So what other way can you shake 1,000 hands this week? I know of nothing other than posting content. Like, so if I add up the LinkedIn posts, the couple of Facebook and Instagram posts, plus a dozen stories, I've shook 1,000 hands this week. Where else could I have done that? It's literally impossible, you know?
That's a great point. It's so infinitely scalable where one video, one post, one graphic that you do, one story could be seen by 5 people or 5,000 or 500,000. And it took you the same amount of time. You're right. There's nothing. I mean, when I started out as an agent, I was following my mentor who's like, you got to go knock on doors. And I'm like, okay. And I literally thought that was the only way that real estate agents are real estate agents. And I did that. And, you know, I understand the impact of meeting somebody face to face, but there's more variables than just that. Cause they're like, what the hell are you doing? And don't bug me and all of that. And it's worse now than it was then. But you can't, like, if you were to reach 1,000 people door knocking or even calling them, how long would that take? How many days? How, you know, door knocking, how many weeks would that take? You can reach 1,000 people in 30 seconds with a video posted on social media.
Yep.
It's incredible.
And it's crazy. So, this is a concept of meeting the customer where they're at. So for me, I will never cold call door knock. I didn't like that part of the job. I hated it. But I'm meeting you where you're at. So you have time to consume content. You're in between whatever you're doing today, or you're vegging out on the couch and you're logging to social media. You can connect with me at that time on your terms. So I'm not bothering you. And if somebody doesn't want to watch, they'll just go to the next story or they'll just go to the next post. So you're not offending anybody with your content. If you post horrible content and you're not thinking of the audience, for after a while, people may tune you out. So that's the downside of that. But for the most part, if you post something and it's not relevant, they'll just continue going, you know? So it's not, you don't take it personal. But I think this whole thing about, like, how do you become passionate about posting content? Well, how do you become passionate about anything? It's not like we are, like, our goal today was to become social media rock stars. But what happened was we realized how efficient it is. We started to see results, and then the results made you passionate about being on social media. So, like, that's the disconnect, is like, people are like, they want the results first before they even start. They're like, what's the point? I'm not getting anything out of this. I'm not going to do it. Well, the only way to get the result is if you did it, you're in a catch 22. You see, like, you hear that all the time.
It's just like learning to drive. You cannot learn to drive by reading about it and studying. You have to get behind the wheel and learn how it feels, learn how hard to push or to turn the wheel and push the gas pedal and all that stuff. You can't do it unless you're doing it. Yep. And it's the same thing with social media and content. And it's sad. It really is sad, Neil, when people are like, well, I'm nervous, or, you know, I'm going to practice a few more times. And it's like, well, you're going to just keep doing that. And your competitors or someone else is not doing that. And they're putting out more content and doing another video and writing an article and doing this and doing that. And they're filling up the newsfeed of the person you wanted to get in front of, but you're not. That's what's happening. And so this divide just keeps growing bigger and bigger. The content creators show up more, get more business because they're remembered more often. Those that don't get remembered less.
Yeah. And there's two things I would say to people who want to or who need to do this, but they just need that nudge, you know? And one thing I say from my own experience is, let's say, you know, you've dealt with clients for the past several years. I don't know how many years experience people have. Just think of those clients. Who were the best ones? Like the ones that really valued you, that, like, you know, respected your time. It was cool working with them. Afterwards, they referred you to other people. You're actually friends with them now, like the best clients of all of them. You know, think of those people. Those are the reason why I love my job. Those people, the ones that treat you like shit and the ones that don't value you and kind of, you know, just treat you like a commodity. That's why you hate your job, because, you know, everyone's got those clients. They've got the ones that they hate and, or not really hate, but just that, you know, just make
strongly
their job a living.
Dislike.
Yes. Yeah. So, and you may have more of those than the other, right? But I'm telling you, like, what if I had a system that lets you deal with 90% of those clients that you love working with, that turned into pretty much all of your business? These people that are cool to work with. Like, what if there was a system? This exists, and this is what posting will do. And then the second thing is like, you know, when you think about results, you know, it, like, where else have you seen an opportunity? So, you know, you come up with the ideas for businesses, you come up with ideas to get new leads, and you come up with an idea and you're like, oh shit, these guys are already doing it, or they've exploited that opportunity. I've never seen an opportunity like this where literally nobody, or maybe one or two people, is doing it in your market. Like, where else have you ever seen that in your entire career or in business in general? So right now in my market, there is nobody posting content consistently. it's me. I mean, what the fuck? How is that fucking possible in 2021? But it exists. That's the type of opportunity you will find in many, many markets. And there may be a guy that does it for a little bit, but then he falls off. But if you're going to be the dude who posts every week, multiple times, 52 weeks a year, you know, after years, like you're the dude that is going to take share. And there's room for everybody. But the point being is that there's a massive opportunity because it's missing right now. It's a complete white space.
It really is. Like if you zoom out and look at how many agents or loan officers or just sales professionals in general in your immediate area are doing it, it's very few. But honestly, you know, that's one of the objections that I hear from people quite a bit is, well, I'm not going to do YouTube videos because this guy does. Like in San Diego, Kyle Whistle already does YouTube, so I can't. It's like, well, what if people don't like him? You know, I don't care if there's 600 others who are rock stars in your market. Nobody does it the way you do. And back to your point of, you know, those clients that are just so fun to work with, they refer people, you become friends, you enjoy the process. It's because you attracted the right people.
It was inbound, not outbound.
It was completely inbound. It's attraction marketing. That's what we're doing. Anytime you do any kind of content, as long as you're being authentic, as long as you're really being yourself, then you are attracting the right people. You're not attracting everybody. You're attracting the right people. And business gets so more fun. You eliminate almost all of the, like, the nightmare clients. Business got so fun when I just started doing content and I'd swear and I'd be myself and, you know, not really giving a shit and wearing a hat and a t-shirt instead of a stupid button-up shirt like I used to, which was so not me. And then I just like, wow, business got fun because the right people are coming into it. It's wild.
And this thing you just mentioned of like, you got to be yourself. That was the thing that clicked for me somewhere. Like in the beginning, I'm like, hey, how does the audience, what do they want to see? Like how, what face can I put on for this video so that it's going to work? I'm trying to hack, you know, figure out what's going to work, what's not. But at the end of the day, it doesn't work unless you just simply do it the way you would do it normally. So it's just imagine your family member or your best friend, and they asked you, hey, dude, how do I buy my first rental property? Or how do I, you know, get into my first home? Or how do I sell my home for the most amount of money? How would you explain it? Like, what is your most valuable insights that you would share with a family member? That's the content, just how you would normally say it. Don't try and like turn into this dude with the suit or, you know, Mr. Top Agent guy who comes out with his production stats to start the conversation. Just share it like you would with a friend or a family member. And then when I figured that out, it actually worked more. And then the other thing people will say also is like you just said, hey, there's all these other people doing it in content. Well, I said there was not anybody doing it in my market. It doesn't mean nobody's posting, but they're spammy. It's all sales content. So there are people posting in every market, but they're not doing it in a genuine, authentic, helpful way. They're not providing much of any value. So that's the difference is like, when I say it's a complete white space, it's the people who are actually giving value in their content. They're actually sharing insightful information.
What are some of the, where do you like posting stuff the most? Like which platforms are you using and why do you choose them?
So I personally prefer Instagram. I'm an Instagram user. So I like consuming content there, I like sharing content there, but it's the most difficult I found to grow an audience, especially today because it's so noisy. So it works for me. I still use it, but I've noticed the stuff that leads to the most business is Facebook, which I don't like using as much, but you can't deny that it's the beast. There's so many people there and there's so many groups. And so sharing your content there has been huge for me. And a lot of people will say, okay, let me go to Neil's. I use YouTube as well, but I don't really get business from YouTube in the way you would think. So let's just say you go to my YouTube channel and I have 1,000 subs, which took me forever to get to because I'm not as consistent there as I am elsewhere. So on YouTube, the videos may only get 400 views, maybe a couple thousand views if I'm lucky. But here's the deal. A 400 view video about a real estate tactic or about finance is super valuable to me because I'm seeing in the analytics that half the people finish that video. There is no way you're going to watch me talk, or, you know, 200 people are going to finish, you know, watching me talk about buying a property unless they have some level of interest. So those views are highly valuable. So for me, I finally figured out in the last year, like it's really not about going viral. It's about just providing valuable content in an engaging way. So then what happens is I'm taking that video from there. The last platform I'm using is email. So this is what's leading to the most business. And I would tell anybody listening or watching to this to do this. When you post an informational video, don't just rely on the algorithms and these platforms. Posting is not distributing. Take that video, put the thumbnail in an email, link it to the video, YouTube video, and send it to your entire database. So I just did a reel about this, and it kind of went semi-viral for me on Instagram. I said how I made 100K from one video. I'm taking the video, I'm sending it to, I post on YouTube, get some views there, but that's not the point. I share it with the database. People reply to the emails or they put comments on the video. Then they want to talk about doing the thing you're talking about in the video. Like there's been videos where literally in the comments, people are asking for advice or asking for a call to me or asking for a consultation. Like it's crazy. So I screenshot all these things and every DM I get, I screenshot and I keep a rolling thread of all these people who have reached out to either buy, sell, or refinance or finance or whatever the inquiry was about. And when someone says, when I do these classes, when someone says, hey, I don't, you know, questions whether or not this really works, I just start scrolling that thread. And I'm like, dude, here's another deal. Here's a guy who wants to buy a $1 million house. Here's someone who needs advice selling. Like there's just endless opportunity. So, you know, I think that's what leads to the most business is just making sure you're posting on all of them as much as possible and then distributing that to your database.
Yeah, that's a good tip right there. Email marketing is something in my massive agent business that I've really not utilized consistently. And every time I do, it's so powerful. I come out with an episode, I usually just rely on the podcast platforms to distribute it. But if I then send it out to my network through, you know, to my email list, and I include a YouTube version and a link to listen, I was surprised how many people like, oh, this is cool. Like, you know, normally I don't really have time to listen, but I saw your email come through. I'm sitting at the desk. I watched your YouTube video and just watched it while I worked. And I was like, you could have done that with a podcast, but they didn't, right? Until it came into their inbox where they were already at. So yep. That's a great, great lesson. Plus your email list is something that you actually own and control. You know, it's not, it can't just disappear. If Instagram deletes you, bans you, whatever, which apparently they really love doing these days for whatever reasons, you're done. Like you're gone. You could have 10 million followers that are just gone. So it's important to build that email list for sure.
And you should ask people to join your email list, like, you know, as much as possible. Anytime someone DMs me and I'm like, hey, are you on my list? Because I send out information all the time. Here's the link and add them to the list and just keep that thing growing at all times. Because then you're right, 100% correct. That's one of the most important things is you own your own distribution at that point. You're not the algorithms keep changing. Like, you know, I see my views go up and down on all these platforms and I'm like, I'm in no control of that. So take it offline, have some email distribution, and then you can kind of have some more control over actually who's seeing your content.
So you say Instagram's your favorite platform?
Sure, yep.
LinkedIn, thoughts on LinkedIn?
I'm posting there, not as much as I should. I'm just repurposing. So I'm not like creating specific content for LinkedIn, but I'm taking a post from the other platforms and saying, hey, this worked here, let me post it there. And I had an interesting experience on LinkedIn. I make these like carousel posts on Instagram where it's like 10 images and you slide across it. So you can provide more information in an image.
Right.
So I took that, made it into a PDF and put it on LinkedIn. Because LinkedIn, if you do a PDF, you can have a same type of post, a carousel post, or some people call them sliders on LinkedIn. So I put that there and I barely have an audience on LinkedIn, maybe 1,000 followers. And it went viral on LinkedIn with no audience. It was insane. Like I was like, I think it got to tens of thousands of engagements. And I was like, wow. So that's the cool thing about LinkedIn is because they don't have enough good content, you can still go viral there with no audience. The only platform you can do that on now is TikTok and LinkedIn. And I'm not going to dance on TikTok. So I'm kind of screwed there.
Dance or point to words?
Yeah, I'm not doing that shit.
Yeah, neither am I. I'm pretty over that. You're right. LinkedIn continues to surprise me. I get more organic reach on LinkedIn than anywhere else. And it's not even close. And that extends past those that follow me too. You know, on Instagram and Facebook, it's just those that follow me and maybe something got shared into a group and a couple more people see it. But on LinkedIn, I'm surprised that second and third connections are commenting and reacting to my stuff. And it's like, it's wild. And I don't take full advantage of LinkedIn. Like, I'm not nearly as consistent there as I should be. And I'm not doing anything specifically for LinkedIn. I just take the videos, the square videos that I do, and like, I'll do a different caption, different hashtags and stuff like that, so that the post itself is custom, but it's the same video that I'm putting everywhere else. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But it seems to really go further on LinkedIn. It's wild.
It is. Yeah. I've noticed that too. And you may as well do it. Like, if you already had the content, just do it. And if you don't have the time to do it, pay someone, get a virtual assistant to help you with this. So just what I did was, I'm making a video. I'm going to repurpose my content. So I go into the Google Drive, I get the video, I change the tags, I, you know, do that whole process. Record yourself doing this. There's a tool called Use Loom, L-O-O-M. You just record your screen and talk through how I do it. That becomes the manual for your virtual assistant. Mm-hmm. And someone might say, well, that's easy for you know, Neil and Dustin to say they can afford one. Well, it's very inexpensive. You can get these virtual assistants for, like, on a limited basis for $400-$500 a month. I mean, if that, and they work X number of hours and they'll do X number of tasks for you. And one of the tasks could be repurpose my content on these platforms. And here's a video on how you do it. Leave me alone. I don't want to be bothered, you know, because you're busy with your day-to-day work. So everything you do that you want to delegate, just create a video on how to do it. And then that becomes the manual and you don't have to answer all the questions over and over and over.
I hope that those listening really, I hope that this makes it easier in their own minds, or at least simplifies doing content consistently. It's really, Neil, I think it's a decision. Like, the how-to, the mechanics of it all, like, everyone knows how to post something on social. They know how to do a video and post it. So it doesn't have to be this big fancy thing. You don't need LinkedIn sliders and, you know, the PDF thing.
Yeah.
I love those that you do, by the way. I think I even reached out and I was like, so how did you do those exactly? I figured it out in Photoshop. But you don't need to do that. Like, you could just talk to the freaking camera and post it. But people don't, because they have not made a decision and a commitment in their minds. And I hope that this conversation fixes that for some people listening. I think it will.
For sure. And yeah, it doesn't need to be complex. It doesn't need to be super edited video. The best content I had, the best post of my year on Instagram this year was, I got COVID and I was stuck in my house for a week. And I was like, I got to get some videos. I haven't done anything. I'm sick. So one day I was like, I took my phone and I sat down. I put my phone on my son's Gatorade bottle because he brought me some Gatorade so I could stay hydrated. And I had his desk lamp, which is like $20. And I just was recording a video and I sent it out to my client list, my database. And it was about something that was going on in the market that week. And while I'm doing that, my daughter takes a picture of me doing it because she wanted, like, I don't know why. She just took a picture with her phone of it. Here's dad shooting a video. And she sent it to me. And I wrote on the picture, you don't need $5,000 to make good shit. Like, you don't need a $5,000 setup with cameras and lights and all this. Like, it's literally my phone, a $3 Gatorade bottle, and a $15 light. And that's content, right? And that, for some reason, that post got the most reach I've ever gotten on Instagram. So that tells you that this must be a misconception in the audience that you need a lot of money. They, you know, they think that this, and when you break that myth of, like, yo, you don't need anything but this phone to get going, you know, it kind of makes it, like, attainable for people then.
I remember that post too. I like seeing that because when you're creating content, we only see the box, right? We only see what's being recorded. We don't see what is around you. We don't see the setting that you're in. We don't see what's going on behind you and all that. And so I think that that humanizes creating content, right? It showed people, like, you don't have this big production studio in front of you. You put your phone against bottle and hit record.
Yes.
And that's why I think it was so powerful. I remember seeing that. And that's what I liked about it. It had an impact on me too. It's like, yes, that's awesome.
Yeah. And that's the kind of shit, you know, you can do. It's about the message, not about the production value. So I'm into cameras and gear and some sounding better and looking better, you know, kind of messing with that just because I'm getting more creative. But that's not a requirement. That's just because I'm into that shit. So I don't want people to think like, hey, you need these high production videos. I just like, you know, making upping the game after a while. So I started doing that. And that's how you can view it as well. I think people want to jump to that step first. So I just did a reel about this, how to start your podcast for free. You just need your phone and the Anchor app, and it will distribute and create the podcast. And the audio quality recording on this iPhone is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not far away from it, it sounds pretty good. So I said, when anybody asks me about, hey, what audio device are you using? I'm like, do 10 episodes and then come back and I'll tell you all the equipment. Like, don't ask me about the equipment first. Let's get some content out there first and then we can get into equipment. Everyone starts with the equipment. It's like the most frustrating question when someone's like, what did you shoot that with? And you go to their feed, they've never posted anything in their life. Like, yes. Bro, you don't need a Sony DSLR to start your content strategy. Like, let's get over that part.
100%. Yeah. I have a $100 mic and I record into my laptop and I use Zoom to record these interviews.
That's it.
That's how I podcast. I don't have a $500 mic and this freaking mixers and this and that and a $1,000 switcher. I don't even understand that shit, to be honest with you. I don't understand how it works. I know that if you have multiple mics, you might need some of it, but I don't. You can, Russell Brunson's podcast, he records driving to and from the office into his voice notes on his iPhone. Yep. And he has millions of listeners on that podcast. It's about the content of it, not the production quality. As long as the production quality is decent, it doesn't have to be perfect, which there's really no such thing.
Yeah.
Simple as
that. And yeah. And before you kind of go into like your part of the podcast, I wanted to just bring this up in the podcast. You are someone who's trying to grow a network and a team. And I'm trying to do the same thing. So I wanted to ask you, because I know this is a question that a lot of the people ask about, is what insights have you found as far as from a recruiting standpoint? Because once you've gotten to the level to scale, you're going to need more people. And right. To scale income in real estate or in lending, you need more people. So you got to bring people into this business, help them, coach them, things like that. So what have you kind of learned as far as that goes? How does producing content help you recruit?
Okay. So for my team with my brokerage,
or in just EXP in general, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Built a team of about 140 now in 35 different states and Canada. And that's because of my podcast, because of content, but not, it's because people are looking for support. They're looking for someone who they're like, you know, I want to partner with that person, or I'd like to work with them. I think they could help me accomplish my goals. And by putting yourself out there and sharing what you have to offer, whatever that is, whatever you personally have to offer, whatever your area of expertise is, someone else needs it. So you're always one step ahead of somebody else. There's always someone who needs what you just did, where you just came from. Someone else is there right now and you can help that person. So if you put that out there and freely put it out there and just make it clear that, hey, like, I want to help you. We can actually team up. Here's the business model that makes that possible. Then the right people come to you. The right people are like, you know what? I've been looking at that for a while. And now that I know that I can have you as a partner and you can help me accomplish my goals, let's do this thing. And it's really, really, really helped. It's one of the most, every day, we get a new agent join the team and I'm just like, this is so wild, but it makes so much sense of why it's happening. It's so obvious why it's happening. We all know that we need someone to help us get where we want to go. And we can find those mentors from afar by listening to their shows.
Yeah. Okay?
The great thing is we can start our own show and be the show that's being listened to that people then want to come work with you.
Yeah.
And all it takes is a decision to start and a decision to keep going and a decision to make it better every time. That's it. And just be open and all that. So the content's been everything. Like I would not be where I'm at today. I don't even know if I'd be in the industry, to be honest. I think I would have failed and had to go get a freaking job if it wasn't for learning how to create content.
I would say the same thing. And I when I went from 3 to 21 people it's because it, literally every person that's in this office around me here was because of social media or a friend that was introduced from somebody on social media. So it's been everything for me. It's just, it's such a massive opportunity because of what you said, like you're showing how you can help people. It's the most, it's the information that they need on a regular basis. So you're providing them with relevant content. But then the link I think that is probably why you're having success is you're showing your personal life. And what I've gathered from that is like, hey, that's a good dude. Dustin seems like a good guy. You may be a psychopath. I don't know. But for the most part,
completely.
I'm pretty sure you're a good guy. And how the fuck do I know that? Because you showed your personal stuff in the content. So I think what happens is like you provide the relevant content that you know what you're doing, you know, and then you're showing personal things. So then people can really kind of get to know you. That's the connection where someone feels comfortable sending you a DM, and then that leads to them working with you, whether it's a client or a new staff member. And I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, there's so many things that all of us do for our clients, for our team members. Why is it that only they know about this stuff? Like only a small circle knows how great we are. Like if you just showed it, now everybody starts to know that. Like, hey, I want to work with those guys. Those guys seem like good people to work with. Like I have a ping pong table in the middle of our office here. The ping pong table has outproduced some of the staff here because by me showing I'm playing ping pong, someone's like, dude, I love ping pong. I played that in college, or like I used to play that all the time. And then it starts the conversation. Now there's that relatability. They've already seen all the boring informational content, which I must provide. But now the ping pong table led to the connection, which then leads to either the recruitment or the business.
That's it, man. And I appreciate the kind words. Thank you. But it's the personal connection. You build credibility for yourself when you do content. You're building credibility for yourself. You're building influence for yourself. But it's the personal connection that people make with you that make them want to keep listening to you. And they want to keep hearing what's coming out of your mouth from you because of the personal connection. If there was no personal connection, if you were just putting out stuff, some people would continue coming back, but at some point they would find that information elsewhere because there's no connection keeping them coming back to hear it from you. So that's a big deal. One of the biggest compliments that I ever get is when I talk to someone new that listens to the show, or has seen my videos on social or something, and they're like you're exactly how I thought you'd be. I'm like, that I really believe that that's one of the best compliments ever, because I'm like, I don't know how to be anybody else, but it's nice to know that it comes through in my content. Because I know what it's like, unfortunately, to meet some people in real life and you're like, okay, you've been acting in your videos because you are not that person. And that's not good, because that's a negative reaction. It's like, oh, I thought that they'd be cool. They're not.
And that's a cool, that is a big thing, because I have people I work with who are, you know, really good friends on the real estate side, and we'll have conversations between us, grab a beer, talk privately, and they're one person. And then when we go to do the video together, they like literally a change in voice. Like the dude puts on his like broadcast voice and he changes the way he stands. I'm like, dude, can you just be like you were before I hit record? And I'm trying to get these people just to like lay off of trying to hit that switch of like, now I'm Mr. Professional Successful Realtor. Like, it's not going to work. That kills you. You look like a used car salesman. Like, just go back to the way you would normally talk to your friends and family. Like, that is okay. I think everyone watching and listening needs to see you have permission. Dustin and I have granted you permission to be yourself. Please. That's the only way this shit will work, is if you just lay off of what you think people want to see and just do it yourself.
You turn the camera on somebody and their voice deepens all of a sudden.
Yeah. I've done it so many times. It's like, what is going on? Dude, what happened? Who are you?
Yeah. And honestly, though, in fairness to them, if they're not in front of a camera regularly, like, I understand that, because they're nervous and they're like, they just need practice. So start with stories, for God's sakes. Just start with stories. They're so informal. They're supposed to be informal. They're not supposed to be in amazing lighting and everything. So get used to it. If you're one of those people that gets nervous and feel like you have to act or you know, act a little bit different or change your personality, you just need more practice being yourself. And I think it is something that you do have to practice a little bit. I wasn't always this carefree. But I grew into it pretty quick through repetition. And for me, it was Snapchat. It was just one snap at a time over and over and over. And pretty soon you don't give a shit anymore. And you're like, here I am, people.
It's like a desensitization. So you just become numb after a while. So yeah, I agree with that. Like, yeah, you can't fault people for being that way because we're all like that in the beginning. But just record a bunch of videos in your phone. Don't even have to post them. And you'll see, look back at the camera reel and video one to video 10, you become more comfortable. It happens to me all the time when I want to put out a video. I need to like get going first, like just get it moving. And so you start saying it, you mess it up, you say it again. By a few takes in, you're like, okay, now I can do it. You know, and it comes out really smooth. And another tip I kind of learned over the years is not scripting things. If you script it, it kind of kills it for me. And maybe people can recite things. I can't do that. It ruins it. So I just have a bullet point of what I want to talk about, bullet points. And then when I see that bullet point, I know it. And so if anybody's thinking about doing informational content, which is literally what's leading to the most business for me, and people will think it's boring. If they think it's boring, look at, I just did a reel this morning about why Dave Ramsey is dead wrong. So Dave Ramsey says you have to put out, you have to save till you have 20% down. So like, I want to do a video about why you should buy a home, or why you should consider buying a home, even if you don't have 20% down, because to this day, so many consumers think they need this huge down payment to get into home ownership. You'd be surprised. Like, I get DMs to this day that say, I'm saving for my down payment. And I'm like, how much do you have? I got 30 grand. Did you have enough already? What are you doing? Like, what are you waiting for? So I wanted to put a video to dispel that. Well, where are they getting this from? The most notable person they're getting this from is Dave Ramsey. So do you think it would be more beneficial of me to come online and be like, I'm going to tell you guys why you only need 3 to 5% down to buy your first home? Like, probably, you know, I'll get some connection or some engagement, but not much. They'll just keep scrolling because it's boring. But what if I start the video and say, I'm going to tell you guys why Dave Ramsey is dead wrong? Like, hey, I want to hear what do you got for me? Let me hear the next
everyone,
part.
Everyone's going to be like, okay.
So just think of that when you're creating your informational content. Think of a way to start that first two lines. I had a guy, I'm trying to get better at public speaking. So I had a guy teach me, and he's like, dude, if you learn nothing else from me, just know that the way you start your speech is more important than anything else. Because if you start bad, you're dead, like for the whole speech, because you've lost people already. You know, if your beginning is great though, the middle can kind of suck almost, because you've started well, and that's what they're going to remember, and they've given you their attention. So with video, it's the same thing. We got to just start straight with the most compelling way. So I've just noticed, like, if you just change the way you start the videos, first two lines, change the title, something like that. And you're doing it too, Dustin. I see with your clips from the podcast, like, you know, the attention span is limited on Instagram. So you're taking a 30 second, 1 minute, 2 minute clip, and it has a title that I might be interested in. And so I know what I'm getting from the video, you know, like in the very beginning. I don't have to wait for it. So just give that straight in the beginning, and then you can get into the details. And that's what's working for me as far as informational content.
Gold, absolute gold, Neil. Appreciate it. Well, we're running up on an hour here. Let's jump to the rapid fire questions. And then I want to give people a chance to hear where they can see your content, where they can follow you, because you put out some of the best quality stuff I've seen in any industry, and everyone needs to follow you for damn sure. But absolutely. So are you ready for the rapid fire?
Let's go.
All right. You don't need to elaborate unless you want to. Okay. Facebook or Instagram?
Both.
Oh, you're going to be one of those both guests.
Okay, so Facebook, if you want, Facebook is going to lead to more connections and more money. So Facebook.
Okay. Instagram or LinkedIn?
Instagram.
Books or podcasts?
Podcasts.
Podcasts or audiobooks?
Audiobooks.
iPhone or Android?
I have both, which is crazy.
That is crazy.
I like the iPhone. I like the iPhone better.
Nice. Alexa or Google Home?
I have Google Home.
Burgers or pizza?
Fuck, that's hard, man. Pizza.
That one gets everybody. Pizza, you said?
Yep.
Nice. New York or LA?
I'd say New York, hands down.
NFL or NBA?
NFL. NBA sucks.
Yes. Pro or college?
I like college.
Mountains or beach?
Beach.
Podcast or vlog?
Podcast.
YouTube or Facebook Live?
YouTube.
Uber or Lyft?
Uber.
Gary Vee or Grant Cardone?
Gary Vee all day, man.
Every day.
Yeah.
And what is the most impactful book you've ever read or listened to?
Let's see. That's tough. So you said Grant Cardone, and I have to give him credit because I read this book called The 10X Rule 3-4 years ago, and it did switch something in me of like, hey, I'm doing this wrong. Like, I need an increased level of activity to get the results that I want. And it made me
presence.
Yeah, and he made me think a lot bigger. So I have to give Grant credit for like, yeah, some of the shit he says nowadays is kind of like dumb, or I don't connect with it as much as I used to. But when I first was getting into content, his content was one of the first things I came across. And it really did think like, hey, you know, you need to do a lot more activity and you should be thinking a lot bigger. Like when you see people who are doing excellent in your industry or are operating at another level, like I used to think like that's far-fetched, but like anybody who's in the industry, why can't that be us? Like what's stopping you? Like, why can't you have a million follows and subs, YouTube subs, and be a huge presence and have a, you know, multi-million dollar business? I used to think that was way too far-fetched, but once you start to operate at higher levels, you're like, oh shit, I can do more. You know, you're like, I used to have a dream of making X number of dollars. And then when you make that dollars, you're like, hey, this is nothing. I could do way more than this, you know? And so it really starts opening your mind to like, this is a massive opportunity. You can do as much as you want. We're only limited by like what we think. And I know it sounds kind of like cliche or whatever with all this mindset talk out there, but it's 100% true.
100%. That's funny because I feel the same way. I prefer Gary Vee all day long. I respect Grant Cardone. I just don't like his personality. I think he's kind of bitchy. Yeah. Although I do like him a little more now that he's partnering with eXp Realty. He and his wife are joining eXp, which is mind-boggling. So I'm really interested to see how that plays out. Big credibility boost for the brand.
He's gonna talk about it at the 10X Growth Con, which is huge.
Yeah,
you know, for the brand.
Yeah, and Glenn Sanford, EXP's founder, is speaking at 10X, and so they have something big up their sleeves. It's gonna be really interesting. I think it's gonna be a big boost. But I also like 10X. I listened to it on Audible, and I got the same takeaway. I was like, he's right. Like, I see him everywhere. Everyone knows who he is. And here's why. It's because back in what, 07, 08, 09, during the crash, everyone else is pulling back on their ad spend, and he triples down, and he, all of a sudden, he's everywhere, and like, everyone knows who he is.
Yeah.
And it really opened my eyes too. So the book itself, 10X, I think is fantastic.
Yes.
I just don't like him and his delivery of stuff sometimes.
Yeah, it's a little bit brash, or, you know, it sounds like just douchey is probably the best way to describe it.
I don't know a better way. Yeah.
Yeah. So it really does open your eyes to like marketing at a higher level, thinking bigger, and then just what's required in order to do that. You just need a higher level activity. And I think people just, you know, don't understand that. Like, how could you do all this? Are you capable of all this? We're capable of a lot more than what we think.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, the bar is pretty damn low in our business, man. It's bad. Like, people are doing, I hate all these eighth place trophies and all this shit, you know, like at the brokerages, like everybody gets an award or a plaque. I'm like, yeah, this is all good for retention, but you really didn't achieve anything if you closed 8 deals this year. Like, what the fuck? You know, you failed, literally. I'm sorry to say that. But
you made top 10. There's 18 in the office, but you made top 10, and it's good for the humble bragging on social.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily have a problem with that, but I do, you know, in the context you mentioned. Yeah. Neil, where can people find you, my friend? Where can they follow you and see your awesomeness?
So my tag is Neil with 2 E's home, Neil Home on everything, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you know, just search for that. And if you're on Instagram, that's where I'll get, I never miss any DMs there. So if people want to learn more about any of this stuff, I have this strategy I used for my videos for emails. Is I put people on the list, even if you're, you know, you don't necessarily want this type of content personally, you could just use it to steal. So I'm telling you, like, if you want to see the videos I'm doing that's leading to business, just hit me up on Instagram. I'll add you to my list. So that way, when I send these videos out every 2 weeks, you'll get the video. And then if you want, like literally copy it, like just do it. You could put your own spin on it or whatever. I don't care. But that video, when I've done it, I've already done the work. I've looked at what's trending. I've created a video. I've done it. Take what I've done and then do it. Like I've done some of the work for you, and I think you'll find success, and that will probably inspire you to do more videos then.
Awesome. And if wherever you're listening to this podcast, click into the show notes and we'll have Neil's social media handles and all that in there as well. And if you're watching on YouTube, if you're watching the video on YouTube, click into the description and they are there as well. Neil, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you doing this, and keep putting out the good stuff, because I also look to some of the stuff you're doing. It gives me ideas. That kind of makes me feel inferior. I'm like, I need to step up my shit, because Neil's killing it.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah, I appreciate you having me on the show, dude.
Absolutely. I really hope that some of you guys got closer to making a decision to just start recording yourselves and start posting more and get yourself out there. If you're not going to be found in someone in the news feed of your friends or family or the community, another agent will be. It's as simple as that. All right. We're moving into this world where if you don't exist on somebody's screen, if you're not on their screen over and over and over, you don't exist to them. And I don't know what else to tell you. I can talk till I'm blue in the face, to try to get you to do these things. And we try to give you specific tactics and ideas, but ultimately, you have to make the decision to just start doing it, and then you learn along the way. You can't drive a car unless you get behind the wheel and drive the car. You know what I mean? So get behind the wheel of social media, for the love of God. There's just so much amazing opportunity that comes from it. So I hope that this week's interview helped out a lot. Make sure you go follow Neil. Like I mentioned in the show notes of the episode, wherever you're listening to the podcast, click over there and there's links to his social. And if you're watching on YouTube, click into the description and follow him as well, because he has some really, really top quality content. But I will say this, he has, he does amazing graphics and uses, graphic design and all this stuff. You don't need to do that. You can just talk to your phone and record the video and post it. It doesn't need to be produced with graphics and text over it and all these, cool things. It doesn't have to look like Gary Vee's team put it out for you to have a lot of success with it. So please don't hold yourself back. If you're thinking, all right, first, before I do this, I need to learn how to design graphics and learn Adobe After Effects and learn how to do all this blah, blah, blah. No, you don't. So please fight the urge to do that. That's stuff that you can grow into later on, but you sure as hell don't need to do that from day one. If you guys got some value today, if you enjoyed this show or any other episodes of ours, please share it with a friend, a colleague, a team leader, your broker, someone else in the industry. Please share it. That's all that we ask. And then I'd love to get your feedback as well. So please review our show on Apple Podcasts. We made it simple. You can just go to massiveagentpodcast.com/review. It takes you right to Apple Podcasts and you can leave us a review. I love to hear what you guys like about the show, what your takeaways are, your feedback. If it's negative feedback, please don't follow that link. But if it's positive feedback, definitely let us know. If you have negative feedback, for real, shoot me a DM. Like, I want to know how to make this show better. It's not that I don't want to hear that stuff. I just don't want it to come in the form of a review. Let's handle this like adults, shall we? Just send me a DM and call me out. Let's do it that way. But only positive reviews, please. That's pathetic that I even have to ask. But there we go. Thank you so much for listening, guys. Have a great weekend. Take care. Talk to you soon.